Testing, 1, 2, 3. The following is an unrehearsed interview with Charles F. Rose by Mark S. Wilburn for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted in Campden, Wolf County, Kentucky, on July 24, 1978, at 12 noon. Yourself for a tape, tell me maybe a little bit about your family background, your educational background, how you came to live here. Yeah, just go right on. Just
give my name is Frank Rose. I've lived here all my life. That is, I've owned property, and this has been my home all of my life. Uh-huh. And of course, I've worked away some of the years, you know, and uh-huh. I worked for the welfare department 8 years, uh-huh. or more, possibly 8.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen this county grow from from the time that we had virgin timber in the county.
Yeah.
And I saw a great uncle, Elijah Doc Chambers, had a boundary of timber that he inherited, and it had virgin timber on it.
Uh-huh.
And this timber, they would saw that he sold out this timber, and they would saw this timber, and it would fold and crack, twist, you know, large trees, and honey would run out, and people would come there and gather vessels of wild honey.
Yeah.
And keep it from running on the ground, you know, and spoil and run away.
Huh.
And I've seen the county grow from rural dirt roads through Main Street here,
uh-huh.
and until we now have Mountain Parkway, and we have old 15 that's paved, you know.
Yeah.
We had an outlet from Wolf County.
Oh,
and formerly, we only had a way to go, either we had to go through Jackson,
mm-hmm.
up into Breath County,
yeah.
which a lot of our travel went, and or either out on a little Mountain Central Railroad that we had that ran out to the Campton Junction and then connected with the L&M train to Lexington and vice versa. And we've grown somewhat. Our educational system has grown, and we have advanced in recent years. I was superintendent here while we built the new high school and the new Red River Valley Elementary School, and my board was I had the majority of the board. I had wasn't superintendent for 2 years, but we did start and build the Rogers Elementary School and an addition onto it later.
Oh, I see. Had your family always lived here in Wolf County?
My family has lived here. They've always lived here. My father's lived here was Bruce and Catherine Rose, my father and mother.
I see.
My grandfather was Steve Rose and Cirilli Rose. Oh. My great-grandfather was Jim Rose and Fanny Rose, my grandmother. And my great-great-grandfather and grandmother.
Yeah.
Grandfather was David Rose, and my grandmother was a Nichols. Sally Nichols, I believe, was her name. And they're all buried right in this county. All but my father, he's not buried in this county.
Were they born in this county as far back as you remember, or did they come from another
state? As far back as I can remember, they were born in this county. And I guess my great-great-grandfather was born in Breathitt County.
Uh-huh.
My ancestors came to Breathitt County and settled at the mouth of Quicksand. Then came on in down into Wolf County in early years.
I see. You were talking about the schools a little bit. I always like to talk about what the school system was like as far back as you can recall and how that was set up. Would they have the one little schoolhouse? Do you recall those?
The little one-room school.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. My father was superintendent of schools when I was 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
And he served as superintendent of schools until after I was married.
Oh,
and I've seen the schools grow under his supervision from little rural school buildings, of which was the center of the community then, into consolidated consolidated schools.
How did they finance the schools then?
The schools by tax money. By little tax money from the state and little from local.
Yeah.
And of course I started teaching at an early age myself.
Oh.
And when I've taught school for, I believe it was 38 dollars a month, something like that, when I first started teaching school.
That's amazing.
And I've seen it advance, you know, until we're now into a very good, comfortable salary range with financing from the state and the federal government.
I see. Hey, can you recall, as a child growing up and going to those schools, what it was like? What was the situation like? Did they put all the grades together, or?
Well, in my first school, it was a large country school. We had two teachers.
That's it.
And one room school with two teachers, and one teacher had one side of the school, and the other teacher had the other side of the school.
Uh-huh.
And they called it advanced and primary grades.
Uh-huh.
And that is the type of school that I had until moved to Campton and started to go to school here in a graded and high school, which was all in one building.
Uh-huh.
An old brick building stood where our present day grade school is on the hill.
What was people's attitude toward education in those days? I know it's mainly a rural area, but more money came later, but you recall what exactly their attitude? Did most of them try to get their children into the schools as much as they could?
You mean in the early stage?
Yeah.
Well, no, they had trouble with people putting their children into school, all people.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people, they had to be energetic and ambitious in themselves before they would go to school, and the compulsory laws weren't too strong then.
Yeah.
Later, of course, laws were passed to force attendance.
Yeah, make sure they went.
Make sure they went to school.
I see. When did you notice when the money started pouring in to build the schools? Do you remember about?
Well, the first
big noticeable change in schools getting a lot more money than they had been.
The first noticeable change that I remember is when the WPA and the PWA and these government work projects began to come into the county and to the state, and we got our first high school and graded school built through the WPA and the PWA finished up.
I see. That's during the Depression years.
Yes, sir. That was during the Depression years when Alvin Barkley was senator from our state.
Mm-hmm. I see. So That's kind of strange that that would occur during a depression, in a way, when money was short. But
well, it we had a real need for this school building.
Yeah, that's kind of one of my questions, my favorite questions, is what it was like during the depression years, because I know it's hard for somebody like me to imagine.
I lived through the depression years here, and it was very depressing. You know, the people, local people, depend on their crops and their gardens to live, you know, for food.
Yeah.
And during that depression, we had a drought, of which further enhanced that depression. And we didn't raise any food, scarcely any food. And the crops were all failures. And our gardens were stunted, and for the want of water, for the want of rain, you know. And we just we had people had to count up every kind of fruit or wild berries and wild fruit that they could gather.
What was the difference? Was it that money was scarce, or you couldn't get as much money for your crops if you did get a good crop? What was
Money was scarce. You couldn't get a hold of any money. You couldn't get any money for your crops. I had my father had an experience, as well as a lot of other people in this county and other counties surrounding.
Yeah.
They sold their tobacco crops in Lexington, Kentucky, usually, or Winchester, or Moorhead, or towns close around. And my father always took his crops to Lexington. And he had we had farmland. I had a comparatively large farm on Stillwater, and he took his tobacco crop away to Lexington. And he kept waiting for his check, and he had all kinds of uses for this tobacco money. Of course. When he did hear from his tobacco, he owed the warehouse for the storage of this tobacco in the warehouse. It hadn't paid the storage bill.
Was it better to sell in Lexington than it was in maybe any other, because it was a bigger city?
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily.
It's
always a more stable market, I would say, in Lexington, because it's the largest, you know.
I see. But how did people make it through? Was there more dependence on each other?
People depended on one another quite a bit. They raised poultry and lived a lot on their eggs and their poultry. And of course they raised hogs, and they had them on, they had to turn hogs out on mast, what we used to call, to fatten them, you know, more or less, without grain. And they're not nearly as good.
Most people had to live off the land.
There wasn't any money in circulation. And when the WPA come in and the PWA, it began to put a little money in circulation. And from there, people began to grow a little and financially and, and every way.
A lot of people in this area, were they able to get those jobs that the government was coming through with the WPA?
Oh, yes, it used local people, you know.
Did they put them in camps, so to speak?
They did have some camps, but the local people didn't need camps. They had their homes.
So they just came to work from there?
They work from there now. The local people built this big building on the mountain up here, the old high school, what is now a graded school. They built that with labor, and they built roads, and we had a permanent, at that time was supposed to have been permanent, veterans camp out at Pine Ridge. They were World War I veterans, you know. And of course, they finally moved it out of here, but that was a good thing for this area.
I guess the Depression started, Hoover was president when it started, and then Roosevelt came in. Was there a big difference? Did programs start pouring in when Roosevelt
came in? Oh, yes. When Hoover was president, everything was just a standstill. Nothing you couldn't do. Nothing to have you couldn't have anything that could be had.
Yeah.
But when Roosevelt came into office, it began to move immediately.
Yeah.
And it began to stir, and money, he ordered the banks closed and put on a sound basis and all over the country. And then he started this WPA, and he started people working.
Yeah.
You'd see them with their dinner pails on their arm, and you'd see them walking to work, going to work happy, you know, to even to have any kind of employment.
Yeah.
And they began to progress.
It kind of lifted their spirits?
Lifted their spirits everywhere.
Is that right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, that's, sometimes you hear conflicting, you know, it depends on your opinion on how you look at things. Do you see that, the way he handled things, did you see a kind of start of a welfare kind of state, or do you see that was good for that time?
Well, at that time, no. At that time, that was perfect.
Right.
It wasn't. This later grew into this later conditions with other presidents and other congressmen and other congresses. Because, you know, President Roosevelt, in my estimation, was the greatest president we've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wonder sometimes.
He did more for poor people
over
this country than any other president I knew.
Were things better, I'm talking about the 30s, but were things pretty well back on the feet before World War II started, or did it really start to boom when World War II?
It was pretty well back on its feet when World War II was declared and started.
Uh-huh.
I know when it started, I was working for the welfare department. I'd gone down to Lexington. Lived out from Lexington, the suburbs. But things in this area were moving, and they were back on their feet and moving.
Yeah.
And of course, when the war started, that is, this country got into war, then of course big money started moving, and shortly before they started factory work with military work, war work, that boomed.
Were there any people?
Employment.
Were there any people that nobody starved, did they?
I mean, nobody starved, no.
There was nobody that destitute.
No one starved. People in this area, environment, they won't stand to see each other suffer. They'll help one another.
Yeah, I see. I've heard the farms, they used to farm out maybe on the side of hills and things like that, and I've heard that a lot of people have left those, that they're no longer, they're kind of overgrown now.
The government has taken over and helped the farmer to leave that poor land alone and to turn it back into the government program and pay them some, you know.
Yeah. Have you noticed that people have left their farms that were out?
Well, not necessarily in Wolf County. Some people have left the farm, but they're coming back to the farm.
Are they?
Yes, they're coming back to the farms. The only reason they've left is because they couldn't make it financially on the farm.
I see.
And possibly were indebted.
Yeah.
And possibly a mortgage on the farm. They go away and get defense work or some kind of work and pay these debts off and come right on back home.
Were there many tenant farmers around here that worked on?
Yes, there were quite a few tenant farmers. I know we had quite a few tenants on our farm.
Uh-huh.
But then that has passed being now. We don't have very many tenants now.
Yeah. I was wondering, some of the large farms might have bought out some of the smaller farms that used to be here.
Well, some of them have.
But not that?
But not that many.
You don't think that many?
No, sir.
I see. But, You say you worked for the welfare department for a number of years?
Yes, 8 years.
Frank,
I got batteries in here, so I could unplug it if it starts bothering me. But you worked for the welfare department for when was those years that you did that?
I worked from 1942 to 1944. Uh-huh. And then I worked from 1948 to 1954.
I see. I was kind of interested in the growth of it. Did you see any changes? And I'm not sure what connection you work with it, but how has it changed over the years that you worked for it? Just in those years that you worked for it, did it?
Well, it is, I would say, progressed quite a bit.
Do you think?
And, of course, where we worked, my wife was teacher and I was principal of the schools for the first 2 years we were there. And of course, when I went to the Army during World War II and served in the infantry and then the medical corps, and then I came back and decided I would go on back down to work. So I went back and the commission welfare, put us right back on, and I was athletic director and boxing coach.
Oh, I see.
Kentucky Village. Just in the outskirts of Lexington.
Yeah. I see. You say you were in World War II?
Yes, sir.
Were you shipped overseas?
No, I have a kind of a story there. I took my overseas examination and passed it. Mm-hmm. And the reason I know I passed the examination was, and we did ship out for overseas, is the commander needed someone to work in his office that night, and he asked me if I would work in his office and help him alphabetize his papers and arrange his papers.
I see.
So I did. I went down and arranged his papers, and while I was there, I happened to think there was another boy with the same first and last name as mine.
Is that right?
In the platoon with me. And he run down and reminded me of it. Said, now, this is the overseas exam. When I got down there, I looked, and well, it was overseas exam. And we'd both passed. Overseas. So we shipped out, and they gave us a send-off. I was an IRTC camp down in Arkansas. Camp Joseph T. Robinson, if you've ever heard.
Yeah, I think I have.
You'll know what kind of camp it is. And, we shipped out, came to en route while Germany surrendered.
Oh, is that what happened?
And that was wonderful news. And we stopped at Camp Crowley, and they transferred us then and sent us south into Texas in the medical corps.
Oh, I see.
Transferred us to the medical corps and sent us to school down at medical school at in Fort Sam Houston. I forgot the name of the school. Fort Sam Houston. And we finished down there as technicians, surgical technicians.
Oh, I see. Yeah, did you finish your service there?
No, we were discharged. Yeah. I was married and had a son.
So
good sized boy.
Oh, I see. Well, you got lucky on that.
Well, I got out. Discharged. And of course, I was proud to go and fight.
Yeah.
But then after the war was over, I wanted to get home.
Yeah. One more question before we go. We were talking about roads a little while back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What was the biggest problem with the old roads? Were they paved?
Roads were dirt roads, and the trouble with the old roads, you start out in the country, had water seeps in the hills, you know, and it made large mud holes in the road, and you couldn't from them. And they, of course, we had T-model Ford cars, and I can remember the first cars came into this county.
Yeah.
And
could they make it through the roads? Could the
no, they could make it through some of the roads. Okay. Some of the roads they could. And I know anyhow, after several years, they got to put large culverts in the road and ditching the old roads, and each man was assigned so many days out of the year to work free on this
right.
road, and it improved the roads quite a bit. But then the first highway that came through here was Kentucky Highway 15.
15, yeah.
And they began to drive teams, hand scoops, and build this road by manual labor, you see.
Uh-huh.
And then they had technicians come in and build the bridge, but which in the bridges, concrete bridges.
Yeah.
And then I remember the time when the old 15 was graded through, and when they connected it up into little sections, you know.
Yeah. How did as roads got better and they started putting in the roads and everything, how did that affect this area and this town? Did it put you in touch with all
the
other
put towns? Us in touch with cities from here to Virginia, you know, and into Virginia, and down and out to Lexington.
Yeah. Yeah. It, as you see it, maybe might be because of roads or whatever, but for a while you heard that the younger people were tending to move out, maybe move north, maybe to the cities or something. But now you hear that that's changed, that it's reversing, that people are
coming home.
Back and staying.
Yes, sir.
How come? Do you see any reason, in your opinion, why that's switched around all of a sudden?
Well, the you know, I told you earlier in this tape that those people were forced to leave their homes here and go away and make enough money.
Yeah.
To pay off indebtedness.
Uh-huh.
And once they've got that indebtedness paid off, they want to return to their old homes and their farms, and where they can live easier and better and happier.
Yeah. You think maybe people getting fed up with the crime and the violence of the bigger cities?
Yes,
and
I do.
Pollution and
do.
And that could be a reason for
that. Could be I think that is a reason.
You think more young people are staying here now than
yes I do
than they used to? You can see
yes
that.
I do. I know that reason.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would like to mention that perhaps I have neglected to talk to you about? It doesn't matter, but if you had something in mind that maybe I didn't bring out. But
well, I remember the you know, when we had the old 15, I'll call it old 15.
Yeah.
The first paved road that went through this country.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the Mountain Parkway when Governor Burt Combs.
Okay, yeah.
That was one of the greatest
things
for this area that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Is when Governor Burt Combs had this Mountain Parkway built and financed. That'll always make him stand out in these mountains.
I think so. I haven't asked this before. What's about the population of this county?
I'll say the population of this county has grown in the last few years. It has, it did go down, got pretty low for a while.
Yeah.
But I'll say we should be between 6,000 and 7,000 now. I'm just an estimate. I'm not sure, sir.
Yeah. You hear some, you hear, sometimes you see in the paper some politicians talk like maybe some counties ought to combine because.
Yes.
Do you think that would be a good or a bad thing?
I think that would be bad.
Do you?
Because, I think that would be bad because two counties combined. One or the other has a little more population than the other county.
Yeah, that's true.
And the people in the smaller county would feel and possibly be, you know, so that they were more or less isolated.
Yeah.
and more or less
looked over.
And the possibilities for better living would be passed over.
I think so, yeah.
And that's, I think that would be their thoughts. Of course, I don't know what would be the fact about it.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't care because I'm retired and myself, but I'm just speaking for younger people.
Yeah.
I believe that's the way they would feel.
Yeah, I was just wondering how people would feel like about that down here. You do hear, sometimes you do see that in the paper. That,
yes, sir. Well, we had the, we. Well, it has been talked, I'd
but
say
just
that.
Talked about.
Just talked
about. In general.
In general. But nothing has ever been done, I'd say.
Yeah. Probably the majority of people are against.
However, we do have a strip of land that should be annexed to Wolf County.
Where's that?
We have two strips. Well, there's one especially that is down in Lee County.
Uh-huh.
That is cut off the Kentucky River.
Yeah.
Is the line down so far, and then there's a strip of land here that comes around Lee County on this side of the Kentucky River.
I see.
And they haven't had a bridge for some time down there. Mm. I think they've got the bridge repaired or rebuilt now. But that area should have been annexed to Wolf County. We have also in Lee County, we have an area that is called Flat Woods.
Mm.
That is an area that is in Lee County, should be annexed to Wolf County because they have to come here for the schools, come here for all their business. And if that is their real recorded business, they have to go all the way to Bader, come through Campton and go on down to Bader.
Yeah.
A few instances like that
Be
correct.
I always wonder if that, you notice that all the years that you've lived here, is there competition among counties?
Yes, well, there has, there has been a little competition, but not necessarily with us.
Mm-hmm.
Wolf County has always liked to cooperate with other counties. Of course, a lot of the people in Wolf County really come right from Breathitt County down there, and from Morgan County.
Yeah, I see.
And the counties around us here.
Yeah,
and we, we feel that we're all about alike, you know, and somewhere smaller than the other counties around us.
Yeah.
We do appreciate their help.
Mm. I see. Well, I'd like to thank you very much, but I have a couple.